The reading is Matthew 22, 1-14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Anjali, thank you very much for reading from the Bible for us. The title today, Hope After a Year of Missing Out, With Celebrations Postponed, What Does Jesus Offer? By the way, if I haven't met you before, my name is Frank. I'm the vicar of St. Matthew's. Hope I might get a chance to meet you if I haven't before. If you're watching online, feel free to send us a message. I'd love to say hello to you. If you're able to stay at the end, we tend to chat out in the corridor in little groups of six. And if you're brave enough, then come and say hello to me. But if you want to slip away, have got places to be, that's absolutely fine. I wonder if that is relevant to some of us here. So if you think back over the last year, have there been celebrations in your family that have had to change or be postponed? Maybe it's been a wedding, maybe it's been a party, maybe it's been an anniversary or a birthday or something where normally you would be getting together with lots of you and you've had to rearrange. Just hold up your hand if you can think of an event like that that's happened. That is quite a lot of us. I would say the majority of us. I guess all of us had to make different plans for Christmas over this last year. All of us will have had to make different plans for our birthday, I guess, unless you're just the kind of person you don't really do birthdays. But if you do birthdays, you haven't been able to do much this last year. Some of us might have even had two birthdays that have fallen during a lockdown. Has anyone had that? You've had two birthdays and you've not been able to. It's just unfortunate timing for your birthday. I'm sorry about that. There's several people who've been in that situation. And I wonder how you've reacted to that. I guess for some people, it's really been something very close to their hearts that's had to be kind of called off. And it's really been devastating. But even if not, I guess a lot of us just have, well, people sometimes call it FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out, that feeling that it's just, where has this year gone? And what have you missed and what won't you get back? And maybe the optimism for some people is returning and you're booking things in for the future. But some of us might be thinking, I don't really know if I can face much more disappointment, and perhaps a little hesitant to book things in just in case, or to make plans just in case. Well, Jesus tells a story that I find a huge help, and I hope you're going to find it a huge help as well. A story that really turns upside down our whole thinking about this whole issue and gives us a different kind of encouragement and a different kind of hope. It's a story about an invitation to join in with a celebration. Now, Jesus tells the story. It's actually the week just before he's killed. So he's arrived in Jerusalem. The crowds love him, but the leaders hate him, and they want him dead. And Jesus is speaking about both kinds of people. He's speaking about complacent saints and converted sinners. Complacent saints, people who think they're good people and think they don't really need any help from Jesus with that. And then the converted sinners who know they're bad people but do really want to be forgiven by God and do really want to change. And that's who he's speaking to when we read this. Anjali, you read it a moment ago. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, in stories, saying, see, this is not the first story about this topic. He's actually given them three stories in a row. And all three stories are making a very similar point. Have a look at how the other two stories finish. I haven't put it up on the screen. So that the other two stories finish by making the point that God is going to take everything away from the complacent saints at the end of their lives, but he's going to give everything to the converted sinners. They're going to be with Jesus forever. Let me just read that to you. So Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31. It doesn't matter if you haven't got it in front of you, but if you are following a Bible, you might just want to look at verse 31. It finishes like this. The story finishes, Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." Then the second story finishes in a similar way, verse 43. "Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." So let's look at this third story, and let's look at what it says about those two kinds of people. The first kind of person, the complacent saints. The kingdom of heaven is like a king. Sorry, there it is. The Jesus invitation is too wonderful to reject. That's verses 2 to 7. It's for the complacent saints. Jesus' invitation is too wonderful to reject. Jesus inviting people to God's eternal kingdom. And it's a celebration that we were designed for and we were made to enjoy. Here's what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. The kingdom of heaven, that's what Jesus calls the next life. Life after this life, life in the next world, is God being king in his place in heaven. And because he's king, because it's his kingdom, everything goes his way. In this world, we mess it up and we do things our way. And some of what we have in this world can be good, but some of it can be terrible. But in God's eternal kingdom, everything is just as he wants it. And it's hard, isn't it, I think, for us to imagine what it could be like, life in that distant future, life after death. What might that be like? So Jesus helps us understand by saying, well, it's like being invited to a royal wedding. It's like a wedding banquet for the son of the king. The king, he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." It's an amazing party. People listening to Jesus the first time he told this story, they already know about it. For hundreds of years, their prophets and preachers have been saying, look, we're looking forward to a fantastic feast, a banquet, a celebration at the end of time, better than any wedding party. And it's going to be a sort of rich banquet because in this life, food, well, it fills us up for a time, but then we're hungry again. But in that life, we're fully satisfied. Our thirst is quenched. Our thirst, our hunger for hope, for joy, for love, for friendship, for community, for excitement, for eternity, all those longings that we have in this life, fully satisfied and enjoyed as a banquet. Now, the heir to the throne tends to get quite a good wedding party. So if you think back to Prince William, heir to the British throne, getting married to Kate Middleton, it was a lavish wedding, and people really wanted to be there. I mean, crowds were lining the streets in London to catch a glimpse of the couple in their fairy tale carriage and to see the designer dress with the kind of long 9-foot train behind it going down Westminster Abbey. But imagine opening a personal invitation to that wedding. How would you react to that? Quite a thought, isn't it? You'd be sitting there with world leaders and dignitaries, with celebrities and rock stars and footballers. You'd be dining at Buckingham Palace, waited on, provided with some chef who's kind of a world-leading chef, serving you port that's probably older than your grandparents. Elton John perhaps playing the background playing his piano in the background as you eat your food. It would be an overwhelming invitation. I can't imagine many people declined that invitation when they received it. Some invitations are too good to refuse. And none more so than the invitation from Jesus to the kingdom of heaven. I mean, what could be a better party? If you believe in God at all, then surely God is, well, he's not just king of one little kingdom, of one country. He's king of the whole universe. And every good thing that we've ever imagined or seen has come from his imagination and his creativity. And when he is throwing a lavish party in honor of his son Jesus, well, it's going to be difficult for us to even imagine how good that could be. And what an honor to be invited to it. It's going to make a royal banquet look like yesterday's stale sandwich. And at that moment, if we arrive after our lives and we find that we are joining in with that banquet and that celebration, and it's ours for all eternity, we're not going to be looking back and thinking, well, what a disappointment 2020 was. We're not going to be thinking, oh, all that stuff I missed out, I'm never going to get that year back. We're not going to have that sense of feeling just low and disappointed. We're going to think, well, I wish I'd spent that year being a bit more focused on this banquet and making sure that I was here to take part in this, because it's just so much better. Well, it's a great reassurance. It's a great encouragement if it sinks in, isn't it? That Jesus has invited us to an invitation that is too wonderful to reject. We've seen it's too wonderful, but Jesus goes on to talk about it being rejected. It's too wonderful to reject. But they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. Do you see that? Jesus says they paid no attention. The king's personal footman, his messenger, arrives on the doorstep holding a gold-rimmed embossed invitation, sitting on a little red cushion, and you just walk away and say nothing and get on with mending a fence or doing some laundry, or they went to their business, to their field. It doesn't really matter how trivial or unimportant. It just seemed to them more important than being part of that banquet. Sometimes the best way to show contempt, the most offensive way that you can express it, is with silence. Total indifference. You're invited to the royal wedding of your king, and you just can't be bothered to even reply. And others express that contempt in a much more open, obvious way in the story that Jesus tells. They get the king's footman arrives on the door, and they hate their king so much that they can't contain themselves. They grab hold of him and they beat him up and they even kill him. It's pretty extreme, isn't it? I mean, what does it tell you about that community of people that when a messenger comes from their king to invite them to a wedding, there's such hostility and aggression towards their king? Well, it tells you they don't really want that king in charge of them at all. And they certainly don't want his son taking over in the future. They're like a sort of the equivalent of a little terrorist base, a kind of anti-government city that is fighting against the authorities. And what a way to show that. What a moment to choose to express that anger, that disgust against their king. But the invitation to the wedding of the king's son. And Jesus says, well, what would any king do back in those days in that situation? The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And you may say, well, that's a shocking thing to do, but actually it's what governments around the world have done when the government and the leadership is facing open hostility and rejection and from the members of its population. Now, do you see what Jesus is saying here? This is the story that he's telling. What is he saying? He's saying that the way we respond to Jesus, to his invitation, shows something about our real attitude to God. And sometimes that will be obvious. You can think down history, can't you, that some people have heard a little bit about Jesus and a little bit about Christianity, and they've been so angry and so hostile towards the whole idea. Well, they put Jesus to death in the first place and persecuted Christians, and that has happened a lot in history, still happens in some parts of the world today. Sometimes there's that open hostility towards Jesus and his message. But very often it's not that. Very often it's just complete indifference. Couldn't care less. Too busy. Life is full of trivial things that won't seem important in a year or 2 years, and yet they take up our attention to the point that Jesus can't even really get a hearing from us when he invites us to heaven. And Jesus is saying those two reactions may look very different, but there's something very similar about them, because both are saying, I won't have God over me. This invitation to a paradise where God is in charge. Well, I'm with you on paradise, but I'm not with you when it comes to God being in charge. We like to think that this is our world and that we can do things our way, and this is my life and I can do things my way. And so we dislike that invitation. And Jesus is saying, look, if we reject the king, we're rejecting the kingdom. If we're saying no to God, we leave him no choice but to say no to us. He wants to give us his mercy and to forgive us. But if we won't have it, then we can only receive his justice and be removed at some point so that his kingdom can continue and can be as good as he intends it to be. That's the first part of Jesus' story, and it's really about complacent saints, about those that part of all of us that feels that we don't really need help from Jesus. Jesus' invitation is too wonderful to reject. And the second half of the story, more for the converted sinners, more about the converted sinners, is that it's too generous to miss out on. It's too generous to miss out on. Jesus is saying, by generous, I mean it's a gift that we don't deserve. It's a gift of mercy. It's a gift of love. It's a gift of forgiveness, not something we've earned or that we're entitled to. Here's how Jesus continues his story. The king, you remember, the invitation has been rejected and refused and ignored. And the king says, well, the banquet is ready, so go and invite other people. He says to his messengers, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. You see, this is why Jesus died. The complacent saints, they hated him, they rejected him, they ended up killing him. But he went through with that so that he could rescue and invite the other people, the people who knew that they'd messed up in life and who were coming to him and following him and wanting his help and his forgiveness. He died to open the invitation to anyone and everyone. You notice Jesus says there it's for the bad as well as the good. No one is so good that they don't need to be forgiven by God, and no one is so bad that they can't be forgiven by God. And Jesus says, look, I will die on the cross. I will suffer the punishment that we deserve. By rights, we ought to be removed from God's world so that we can stop messing it up. And yet Jesus says, no, I don't want that for you. I want you to be part of this kingdom, however much you've messed up. So I'll die instead of you. The New York Times reported that Miss Kathleen Gooley was due to get married, but her fiancé cancelled the wedding, and he did it quite late in the day, short notice. It was too late to get a refund from the reception venue, so the maid of honour said to Kathleen, why don't we go ahead with the party, why don't we go ahead with the celebration, and we'll invite homeless people to come and enjoy all this food. And so 150 guests from shelters and soup kitchens and drug rehab centres dined on hors d'oeuvres, stuffed chicken breasts, string beans, almondine, and wedding cake from pink tablecloths. One man called Paul, with three stitches above his eye, danced with the bride under chandeliers. And a charity worker who was there called Marvin Minkler said, "Some of these people live in abandoned cars or in the woods, but this is theirs today." And Jesus is saying, eternal life, that banquet celebration, can be ours, and it doesn't matter how we've lived, what baggage we have, what life we've lived. We're invited. But if we accept that invitation and enter that kingdom, we need to recognize Jesus is saying, you can't just carry on as you were, as if you didn't really care. It is going to involve some change. You have to be willing to change. Jesus' invitation is too wonderful to reject. It's too generous to miss out on. And again, when Jesus is talking about the converted sinners, again he warns them about that danger of missing out. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man was there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. "His Majesty," he's looking around the banquet hall at the wedding guests. They're dressed in their spectacular top hats and tails from Moss Bros, their morning suits. But hang on, there's some muddy footprints on the red carpet. Are those some gardening wellies I can see over there in that corner? Has that man even washed his shirt? And so the king goes over and thinks, well, there must be some explanation, and tries asking in a friendly way, what's going on? But the man is speechless, because his mind is racing for an excuse, but there is no explanation. There is no excuse. He simply showed up thinking that he was still gardening. He simply just didn't think that it was a big deal, this wedding or this king. So he showed up as he was. And here's how the king would react, of course. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot. I guess that's so that he can't get back into the party. Throw him outside the party, the celebration, into the darkness. It's nighttime outside, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping, I guess, in disappointment at the lost opportunity of what he's missing out. Gnashing teeth. I don't know if you've ever had to go to a dentist or a doctor and, you know, your teeth have hurt and they've told you, actually, it's probably stress. You've been chewing on your jaw when you've been sleeping. Gnashing teeth in frustration, in anger perhaps. That terrible king should never have kicked me out. Who does he think he is? A friend of mine was telling this story to some young children and decided the best way to get the children to understand it is, let's do it as a drama. Let's get them all to act it out. And of course, the children all wanted to play the speaking parts. They all had their hands up. Me, me, me. I'll do that. And so some of the children, you know, they wanted to be the people who said no to the invitation. Or they wanted to be the ones who showed up in the wrong clothes, so they'd kind of have a bigger part in the play. And they didn't really want the boring parts, which were just the majority of the children who were just the guests at the party. And so they acted out the story. And at the end of the story, those children who got the parts are kind of standing there at the side. And the children who are just the guests are kind of starting to tuck into their chocolate fingers and their jammy dodgers that my friend is using to tell the story. And so my friend went over to one of the little girls and said, did she wish that she had been in the party after all? And her bottom lip kind of wobbled a little bit, and there was a little kind of tear in the corner of her eye, and she said, yes, I do. And if a small child can be so disappointed about missing out on some flat lemonade and soggy crisps in a children's group, then what would it be like to spend all eternity missing out on the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus finishes his story saying, many are invited, but few are chosen. He could have said, many are invited and few choose to accept. That would be true. That's really what he's been saying so far in the story. The invitation to heaven is heard by lots and lots of people, but a lot of those people don't say yes to it. But now he's saying something, he's adding something extra, something slightly different, and saying, look, for those who do say yes, for those who do accept this invitation, who arrive at their end of their lives and arrive in heaven and find it to be similar to this incredible royal wedding banquet, and they feel just undeserving. And they're thinking, well, I'm so out of place here. After all the things I've done, after all the ways I've messed up in my life, how could all this be for me? And they get to their seat and they sit down, and there's one of those little name places in front of them, and it's got their name on it, and they're just overwhelmed that they were always meant to be there, and God's prepared a place for them in advance. They're chosen, loved, wanted, and included. Jesus' invitation is too wonderful to reject, too generous to miss out on. So what will you do with that invitation? How will you respond?